What a beautiful prayer that Jesus says thousands of years back. A prayer that he prays for you and for me. Because he knows that we have joined a new family. He knows we have got a new identity. He knows we are citizens of a divine nation. But he knows we are going to be attacked. He knows we are going to face opposition. And so he says this prayer, and this falls within what we call the farewell discourse, which is Jesus having more like the final earthly words with his disciples. And he says this beautiful prayer. And he actually, within those few verses I have read, he says twice, they are not of the world, just like I am not of the world, Jesus says. And so he says to God, I don't want you to bring them to heaven already. But when they're here on this earth, I want you, I pray to you that you may protect them. He says the guarantee, according, if we look at Romans 8, we are guaranteed the eternal promise of Christ. Heaven is there. We will, because of our salvation that Jesus has gifted you and me, eternity is okay. We are citizens of a new kingdom, and that side is okay. But Jesus is well aware that we are still around. We are still around in this world, which has its own attacks from the evil one. And so he prays protection for you and for me. The words that John read for us, which is what we're going to be looking at, are beautiful. Paul, if you look at the letter to Ephesians, which is one of those he wrote when he was in prison, he talks about the goodies of the kingdom, the beautiful stuff that there is in being called a Christian. And then before he concludes, same to Jesus, we read those bits which are part of the farewell discourse. Before Paul concludes the letter to the Ephesians, he reminds the Christians that we are in a battle. Similar to Jesus, his closing remarks, Paul to Ephesians, closing remarks. He talks about the battle, but then he says, put on the full armor. Because the battle will not be easy. Your future is guaranteed. Eternity is guaranteed. Nothing can separate us. Not even death can separate us from what we are destined for. But this season in here, he wants us to fight with him. He wants us to join him in what he is doing. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We pray that you would help us to understand this challenge to us to put on the full armor, to stand firm in Christ. I pray that as I open my mouth to share with your wonderful sons and daughters the things you have gifted to me, I pray that God, you would help me to share only that which is from you. But I also pray for them and for myself that your word would have an impact on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've just been reminded about the battle that we are in. I have a question for you to start with. How is Satan attacking you right now? And how is he attacking those who are close to you? How is the devil waging war on you? Those who are close to you. This might seem like a strange way to begin. Some people don't necessarily like this topic. And unfortunately, the topic about the devil and the war he wages unto Christians is one of the biggest blind spots in Christian communities. It is one of those we shelve aside and we don't want to talk about it a lot because maybe we don't fully understand it. And there is a lot of theological arguments around it. But Paul is not shy about talking about the attack of the enemy on God's people. So if you have your Bibles with you, it would be good to have Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 17 open. Paul uses the military language. And in the military, people follow orders. I have never been in the military, but I'm aware about the level of discipline amongst the military people. Especially when it comes to the war, they just have to do what their commander says to them. They've got to get their gear together and ready to go. But the place of obedience and trust on their commander is very key. Oftentimes, as Christians, people might think, ours is just a wishy-washy faith. I'll just plod on, I'll plod along, I'll just go with the instinct. I wonder what you would feel like if you're on a plane. I've just recently flown to Kenya and back, and the pilot says, it's wishy-washy, it's fine, it's going to be okay, we'll just navigate it. He has no clue about what he is doing. I wouldn't board that plane if that is his attitude towards the journey. Or maybe you're on the operating table and the surgeon hasn't got a clue. And he just wishes he's got so much passion for surgery, but he hasn't got any discipline or training or clue about what he's about to do. I'll be off. The reason I'm saying this is discipline in the Christian faith is tough. This language that Paul invites us to is a militant language. And I don't want it to be that I'll be fine, I'll plod on. This is where Paul says, and he goes into the specific of six items that are part of the full armor of God. And he says, put that on, put it on, stand firm. Because there is going to be a battle. We live in a world that the devil likes to attack. So when we think about the spiritual warfare, it reminds us that there's going to be an adversary. Somebody is going to try and stop the plans of God in your life. He's going to try and disrupt us. Recently, a guy called David Kinnaman and Mark Matlock, they wrote this book. I read it because I was a youth worker for a while. It's got a beautiful title. It says, Faith for the Exiles. I'll read for you the next bit. The subtitle says, 5 Ways for a New Generation to Follow Jesus in Digital Babylon. What a mouthful, isn't it? Digital Babylon? We are looking at the belt of truth. And for those of us, all of us who love the Old Testament, this exile meant being taken away from the nation of Israel and being moved away into another nation that did not necessarily like the things of God and the people of God. Post-Jesus, the whole world becomes exile. We've just read in John 17 that he says, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. So in this world, we face opposition. We are exiled in this world. And the devil is always trying to stop us. But he is defeated because of Jesus. He has been overcome. And what Jesus is saying, join me, use my tools. And he says, these tools work. If you go back to Isaiah, the things that Jesus is recommending that we put on are recommended for him to put on. And so when we are being told to put on the full armor, Paul, in other words, will say, put on Christ, put him on. These tools have been tried. They have been tried and tested, and they will give you and me victory in our world. So what are the few things we need to be aware about the spiritual warfare? We live in a spiritual world. That is reality. That's the case. We live, our world is as much as physical as it is spiritual. It's important for us to acknowledge that. And Paul says in Ephesians, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. We live in a spiritual world. It's good to try and understand what that means. And so when you face opposition, just remember, it's not necessarily the people, the physical world. It is something that the devil is orchestrating and trying to attack us. And then the other thing we need to remember, we are constantly in war all the time. That's why we need the full armor on all the time. Because we are being challenged all the time by the evil one. The third thing, the devil is strong. I don't want to overestimate him, but I also don't want to underestimate him. Some people use very small words for him. They think the devil is a wimp, he's an idiot. Just very simple words. When you go back, search on Google, what does the Bible refer to Satan as? He is described with stronger words than we would want to use. Again, our blind spot. He's the prince of the world. He is the king of lies. He's the father of lies. The description for him is quite richer in scripture than the world likes to acknowledge. So we need to be aware that he is not just a wimp or an idiot. I'm not saying this to scare us, but it's to help us not to underestimate his capacity to disrupt the ways and the plans of God. How does he try to disrupt us? Three ways he tries to disrupt us. One of them, he will cause us not to be useful for the kingdom. Jesus commands in his prayer says, I want them to be available to reach out. He says, just like God sent Jesus into the world, you and me have been sent into the world. So one of the things that the devil wants to take away from you and me is our usefulness for the kingdom, because he doesn't want people to get out of darkness. He wants to disrupt our usefulness. The next thing he wants to steal is our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He wants to snap that at the bad. He wants to take that away. So we become, sorry to use these terminologies, they're not easy. We become useless for the kingdom. We become joyless in the kingdom. And then the other thing he wants to take away from us in his disruption in the spiritual warfare is the blessing. The Sermon on the Mount is refrained with the blessed are, blessed are. And if we are not those within the Christian community, the blessedness has been stolen. God wants you and me in the kingdom to be full of life, to be fruitful, to be blessed, to be joyful, and to be useful. But he doesn't like that. His battle is not just against us as individuals, it's against the mission of God in us. So it's good to know that he is strong. This next one is my favorite. Our ally is stronger. He who is in you and me, he who is Christ, is stronger than the adversary. Jesus is stronger than the devil. He has overcome him so that when we receive him in our lives and we are in his army with him as our commander, we are on the right side. We are on the winning team. Yeah, say woo. Honestly, that's what the scripture says. We are on the winning team. Jesus, who is in you and in me, is stronger. Read Ephesians chapter 1, and you will see how Paul beautifully says that each of you has the seal of the Spirit as a way of how God identifies you. So our ally is stronger. A few months ago, I used the illustration of stainless steel. For steel to not gain stain and to be uncorrosive, it has to be alloyed or aligned with something else. And that is what Jesus does in our lives. He joins us. We are aligned with him. And so you and me, irrespective of the warfare we find ourselves in, we may be joyless sometimes, we may be, sadly to say, useless sometimes, we may be blessedless. But because of who we are with, we are defeatless. Like stainless, Jesus aligning with you and me, he is stronger than the one who is in the world. But you have to stay within him. You have to stand firm in him. You have to put the full armor, which is from him, as a gift to you. He doesn't want us to devise our own tools. In the Old Testament, Elisha's servant sees at the battlefield, he sees the attackers and he's like, these guys are so many. How are we going to overcome? What does Elisha do? He prays to God. He says, please open his eyes that he may see he who is on our side. And when his eyes are opened, he's filled with joy because the Lord helps him to see that the side of God, there is more armies. And they do eventually overcome the people attacking them. So may God open yours and my eyes to be able to know that he who is within us is stronger than the devil. May that be the voice of hope and truth. Our aim is very clear. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. Paul says that a few times. Stand firm. Not in your own strength, brothers and sisters. I remember when Lakshmi joined our church a few weeks in, we were just chatting about how, as a minister, you really need God. You cannot do this at your own strength. It doesn't matter how much training, how much experience, how good a church you lead, how many prayers people are saying to you and for you. You have to stand strong in God. Only in him can we find our strength. So we must, our aim is very clear, we have to stand strong. Not in our own strength, but in his strength. And as we think about the spiritual warfare, remember the outcome is inevitable. Victory is guaranteed. We know how the game ends. We know how it finishes. It finishes with victory because Jesus has won a people to his Father for himself. We are his. So we will not be separated from his love. We will win in the end. He says we shouldn't use our own human will and power. Sometimes when we face our battles, we can try with our own effort. We might use our common sense and say, I don't necessarily like this phrase, but it's becoming more and more common. It is what it is. That is common sense. That's one of the ways in which we deal with our challenges in life. But that's not going to give you any help. Our logic will not help. Our willpower, our personal willpower is so limited. Our saying, I'm going to ignore it, it's going to go away. It doesn't. Yeah? People will use some of the logical ways of understanding struggle, then they will say, time is a healer. But Jesus is the healer, not the time. He will heal us with time. But time is a logical way of people understanding it. So Jesus is saying, Paul is saying to us, put on the full armor of faith, the full armor of God. As I draw to a close, I now focus briefly on the truth. But before I look at the truth, I didn't bring the potato today. I brought something else. This is a lamp. This lamp needs to be charged, and it depends with how long you charged it for. It's because my boys, they love a light in their room. They cannot sleep in the dark. You switch the light off, they're in the middle of the sleep and they wake up. And they're like, I need the light back. They just love that light. But however, this is a very sporadic light because there are moments I have needed it, but because I forgot to charge it, it hasn't helped me. Okay? This light is good, but it has its limits. Sometimes the way we do our Christian life is almost like this light, where we go, we charge on a Sunday, and then we go out on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and by Wednesday, Thursday, it runs out. Because we are, in a way, just carrying information. What Paul is saying is stay connected, stand firm, wear the full armor all the time. Be like this light. This light, it cannot work unless it's connected to the power. But as long as it's connected to the power, it's on all the time. Stay connected, put on the full armor throughout. It doesn't know when it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Provided it's connected, it's like that. And that's the difference between gathering information and letting the information, which is the word of God, the truth of God, transform you. The transformation sticks you close to God. Information will carry you. It's a nice light. We actually carried it in Kenya because occasionally in Kenya you do lose electricity. And it can be for a few days. I think the longest I've lost electricity in the UK, the power cut, is about maybe 10 minutes. That's the longest. I know you might have experienced longer than that. But I needed it. But I knew it had to be charged. It could carry some charge, but it's limited. So how our human capacity could be similar to that? It has a time frame. But God's capacity connected to him will be on all along. Stay connected. Put on the full armor of God. And if we do so, we will overcome. And so how do we do that? Tim Keller says, we have to ask ourselves, how thoroughly are we studying the scripture? Because the truth is the word of God. The word of God is the truth. How thoroughly are you studying the scripture? And then he spins that sentence unexpectedly. And when I read that, I smiled. He says, how thoroughly is scripture studying you? How thoroughly are you studying the scripture? How thoroughly are you letting the scripture study you, analyze you, search you, and transform you? Because when we talk about the belt of truth, it guards the loins. It protects our private parts as well. It also becomes the object through where the Roman soldier would hang all the other equipment. It's very vital that before they do anything else, they have the belt on. The word of God is the truth. How much is it protecting you? How much are you letting it to deeply get into you and transform you? How are you letting it season you, marinate you? I use this food terminology because I know most people, or all people, love food. How much is the flavors of God's word interacting with you and causing you to be experienced by yourself and those around you differently? How much are you letting the word of God in? So all the objects of the armor, we are told, is the armor of God. It's God given. So this truth is given to you for free. So first of all, it's a gift. And then it starts to interact with us and we become truthful people. We become Christ-like people because that word, when it interacts with us, it has to change us. This truth is Jesus himself. It is receiving him for who he is and allowing him to transform our ways of life. It is receiving, as I conclude, receiving the full benefit of what Jesus has done. I finish with a very short story. Irene and I, in May 2024, were privileged to become British citizens. And a few weeks ago, we were coming back to Kenya. John was waiting for us at Heathrow. And for the first time in more than 10 travels, coming back to the UK, I could march majestically and join the British queue. It has never happened before. It felt very weird. Because you who have traveled outside of the UK, when you come back, it tends to be the one that, it's the queue with the privileges. You get sorted quite quickly. Eh? You get checked in quite quickly. So when we talk about the full armor, it's taking the privileges of God's given citizenship. It's taking the privileges of being a child of God and applying them. Let me tell you one thing. I could have chosen to go and queue in the Kenyan queue. It was very long. I could have queued there because I have a Kenyan passport. But I chose. And genuinely, I chose to go into the queue because I have now been granted those privileges by God's grace and the generosity of the nation. I can say I'm a British citizen. It would be very stupid to not use those privileges. It would take longer. It would be difficult for me. brothers and sisters, I pray, as we think through the full armor of God, may you and I make use of those privileges that God has given us. These privileges will help us in the battlefield. These privileges will give us usefulness in the kingdom. They will give us joy, and they will cause us to be blessed. Feel the privilege, make use of it, be in the right queue, be in the queue of God's people. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you because without you, we would be defeated in the battlefield. We pray that your truth may transform us deeply and cause us to be different in the battlefield. We pray that your truth would give us assurance, that it would cause us to be useful in the kingdom, to be filled with the joy of the Lord, to find joy in situations. But also we pray that in receiving your truth, we would be a blessed people, members of God's family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.